celebrate the 88th year of the founding of AA in Akron, Ohio, with this 1988 version of Joe and Charlie, brought to you by the big book, livingalive.com.
Doctor's opinion. And as we see these five different types of alcoholics, and as we see the one thing that we all have in common, this physical allergy of the body, the phenomenon of craving that develops after we've had a drink or two. Now, back in the 1930s, the medical profession knew a little bit about metabolism, but not a whole lot. Today, the medical profession has pretty well proven the doctor's opinion. You know, today they know that when you take anything into your system, say a piece of beefsteak, the mind and body can recognize what that material is. And the mind will signal certain organs of the body to produce some things called enzymes. And the enzymes will attack that beefsteak and begin to break it down. And it will separate the beefsteak into usable and unusable items. It'll separate the protein, the amino acids, the vitamins, all those good things necessary for life, and retain those, and then get rid of the unusable items, normally through the urinary and the intestinal tract. And the body has the capability of doing that with anything you put in it, providing it's not a deadly poison that overwhelms the body before it can be metabolized. It does the same thing with alcohol that it does with a piece of beefsteak. And the medical profession today has come up with some information that we think that's so important that we would be remiss if we didn't look at it a little bit. It's not AA information. AA doesn't care. AA says we're allergic to alcohol. They're going to leave it at that. They're not about to get involved in any controversy. Thank God for that. But this information that we have, I think, will literally prove the doctor's opinion. Let's look at it for just a few moments. You have in your handout material a little chart or a picture called the disease concept of alcoholism. Up here on the screen, we'll have the picture. You're going to draw it? Joe's going to draw it on the blackboard also behind me as we go through this thing. If you'll notice in the center of that page, there is a line that represents nine that drink safely. These are the moderate social drinkers. They are at ease with alcohol. Alcohol is no problem for them. They take a drink and they put it in the system. The mind and body recognizes what it is. The enzyme production begins. The enzymes attack the alcohol and break it down into a material called acetaldehyde. Then after a period of time, to diacetic acid. Then after a period of time, to acetone. In the final stage, it is broken down to a simple carbohydrate made up of water, sugar, and carbon dioxide. The sugar can be used by the body. That's calories. That's energy. Interestingly enough, they are empty calories. None of the amino acids, none of the vitamins necessary for life. But it can be used and burned as energy, and the body will do that with it. The excess sugar, it will store as fat to be used at a later date. The water will be dissipated through the urinary and intestinal tract and the carbon dioxide through the lungs. Now, in the normal social drinker, the average rate of metabolism for alcohol is 1 ounce per hour. Now, that's an average. I know it will vary with different people depending on the size of the body and the condition and et cetera, but the average rate for the social drinker is 1 ounce per hour. If they don't drink more than 1 ounce per hour, it's impossible for them to get drunk because their body can break it down, burn it up, metabolize it, get rid of the rest of it, and they can't get drunk. Very seldom does a social drinker drink more than 1 ounce per hour. If they do, stay the hell away from them because they're going to vomit on you in a very short period of time. You know, that normal reaction for them will be to get rid of this stuff and they'll puke right up. Now, let's take the one on the left-hand column, the one who is at dis-ease with alcohol or does not drink safely. And that's all the word disease means, by the way, something that separates you from the norm. The alcoholic takes a drink, puts it in the system, the same thing begins. The mind and body senses what it is, the enzymes attack the alcohol, they break it down first to acetaldehyde, then to diacetic acid, and then to acetone. But it seems as though in the body of the alcoholic, the enzymes necessary to break it from acetone to the simple carbohydrate are not there in the same qualities and quantities as they are in the body of the non-alcoholic. Therefore, the breakdown rate from acetone to the simple carbohydrate occurs at a much slower rate in the body of the alcoholic than it does in the non-alcoholic. Now, the medical profession has proven today that acetone ingested into the human system that remains there for an appreciable period of time will produce an actual physical craving for more of the same. In the body of the non-alcoholic, it goes through that stage so fast that the craving never occurs. But staying in the body of the alcoholic is acetone for a much longer period of time before it is dissipated, the physical craving sets in. And then the body demands some more of what you just put in there. And the craving then causes the second drink, the third drink, the fourth drink, and on till we're drunk, sick, and in all kinds of trouble. We take a little drinking escapade of ours. Let's say we're going home from work. It's summertime, hot weather outside. The grass in the backyard is knee-deep. Wife's been raising hell for 2 weeks to cut it. And we promised her this morning that we would cut that grass, don't worry about it, as soon as we get home tonight. Now, on the way home from work, our mind says, you know, it's going to be awful hot in the backyard. And I believe I could do a better job of cutting the grass if I had one drink. So we stop in the bar and we order a drink. We're sitting there drinking it, and somebody over here beside us, and we're visiting. And as we drink that drink, the mind says, I need to get up and go home and cut the grass. But the craving is already being produced in the body. And the body says back to the mind, well, yeah, we're going to go cut the grass, but we could probably do a better job with two drinks. And the mind says, well, I guess that's all right. And the mind orders a second drink. The body picks it up, and we drink the second drink. Now we've got most of the acetone from the first drink. Now we've added into that the acetone from the second drink. And the acetone level goes up. And the physical craving becomes harder. And the mind says, I've got to get up and go home and cut the grass. And the body says, I told you a while ago not to be in too big a hurry. We'll have another drink first. And the mind says, okay. And we order the third drink, and we pick it up and we put it in the body. And we got most of the acetone from the first, nearly all from the second, and now we've added the third in there. The acetone level goes up. And as the acetone level goes up, the craving becomes harder. And the mind says, I've got to go home and cut the grass. And the body said, we're going to cut it after a while, but we're going to have another drink before we go. And the mind says, okay. And we order the fourth drink. And we put it in our system. We got most of the acetone from the first drink, nearly all from the second drink, most of it from the third drink. And now we put it in from the fourth drink, and the acetone level goes up. And the craving becomes harder. And the mind says, I've got to go cut that grass. And the body said, forget the damn grass. We'll cut it next week. At midnight, everybody else has gone home. And we've had 25 or 30 drinks. We land out in the parking lot. Somebody run over us with a car, broke her leg. We vomited all over ourselves. And they run up to us and say, can we help you? And we say, my God, yes, give me a drink. You see, we never get all we want. Because as we drink, the craving becomes harder. And we simply cannot get enough inside ourselves to satisfy that physical demand for more of the same. And I think another interesting fact is this. Not only do we have a disease, we have a progressive disease. It never stays the same. If it did, we might have been able to stand it. But as we drank, it got worse and worse and worse. The medical profession today has also proven that acetone is a destroyer of human tissue. And as you and I drank these large quantities over a period of time, the acetone begins to attack the body and destroy the body itself. And it seems as though the two organs of the body that it normally attacks first happen to be the liver and the pancreas. Today, they have proven that the enzymes necessary to metabolize alcohol are produced by the liver and the pancreas. And as we drink and destroy those two organs, the enzyme production becomes less and less and less. And as the enzyme production becomes less and less, the craving becomes harder and harder. Our disease is progressing. Also, we know as we get older that the body begins to shut down on the production of everything. You know, I wish that were not true, but it does happen to be true. And as I become older, the ability of my body to metabolize alcohol becomes less and less and less because the enzyme production becomes less and less and less, whether I drink or not. You know, I haven't had a drink in 18 years. But if I'd take a drink today, I wouldn't start where I left off. The phenomenon of craving would be much harder. The lack of control would be much more because I cannot metabolize as well today as I could 18 years ago because of the aging factor. So for two reasons, I am in the grips of a progressive disease itself. The medical profession today has proven the doctor's opinion. We've looked at study after study after study. They all show the same thing. Now, they may change the words a little bit, but they all lead to the final thing, that we are different from normal people, we are allergic to alcohol, and the only relief is absolute abstinence, no drinking of alcohol, period, in any form whatsoever.
Okay, so we'll sum that up, and as he explains it, we actually see that we can't safely drink alcohol, so we can't drink safely. As we summarize the physical part of our illness, we can't drink safely. Now, that's just, later on our book is going to tell us that it's good to know. And I think he says every alcoholic should fully understand his problem. But he goes on to say that although we need to know this, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind, not his body. So this is where all the work is going to be done. All the adjustments are going to be made. This is where we're going to recover in the mind, even though the body is going to get worse with age. But we're going to recover in the mind. And he begins to describe this, and as I usually like to say, I knew I couldn't drink before I come to AA. I was that bad. You know, after about 13 years, one day I said to myself, after 13 years of trying to drink, one day I said, I don't believe you can drink. I didn't know this, but you know, I kind of come to that conclusion. And then I made up my mind to quit, but there was a whole lot I didn't know about that, too. See, I can't drink. I can't drink today. I never could. Like Charlie, I never could drink. The only thing I worked at and got worse. Now, I associate that with another problem I got, too, in my life. When I grew up as a kid, we didn't have a swimming pool in my neighborhood where I lived that we could go to at that time. So I never did learn to swim. I can't swim today. There's two things I can't do. I can't drink, and I can't swim. See, but my swimming is just a physical problem. I don't have an obsession to jump in the water. See, that, you know, really, that's a lot different, see. I had an obsession to try to drink. And that was my main problem, was getting rid of that obsession. So he begins in describing the mental aspect. And as we say, I was fascinated now to learn that, you know, medical science, even here a few weeks ago, we heard on national TV where it discovered a test to prove well, a person is an alcoholic. They actually can do this with a physical test now. He said that the test was 75% correct. They still haven't caught up with us because we got one that's 100% correct. Step over the bar and try some controlled drinking. And you got 100% you can test on it. Okay. So begin with the mind on the Roman numeral page 26 at the bottom last paragraph. Now he's going to explain the triggering mechanism of the mind. Said men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol.
Now, many alcoholics are offended when you tell them that's why they drink. They say, oh, no, that's not why I drink. They say the reason I drink is because I love the taste of alcohol. Well, I wouldn't argue with anybody whether they love the taste of alcohol or not. You know, I love the taste of cold beer, always have all my life. But I also love the taste of cold mountain spring water. And I never did sit down and drink a case of cold mountain spring water. You know, alcohol did something for me that nothing else ever did. Alcohol gave me that hot, burning, tingling, exciting feeling. Alcohol made me grow tall. Alcohol made me good looking. Alcohol made me a great dancer. Alcohol made me the world's greatest lover in the backseat of a 36 Chevrolet. Alcohol allowed me to do things that I couldn't do by myself.
That's right.
If you enjoyed this episode of Joe and Charlie from Akron in 1988 and would like to hear other versions, different seminars from different years, please visit our website, BigBookLivingLive.com.